things don't stay the same. I feel Jesus in the room today.
Amen. Hallelujah. I love the presence of the Lord. That's why we come. What would we do without that presence? I don't know. After all these years, you get so adjusted to walk with Him and talk to Him. And I mean, what is His left? Amen. Thank you, musicians. So here we are again. Never say never. So, Fulfill All Righteousness, Part 5. I think I got that from Brother Doug. I guess, you know, I've been talking to him too much. No. This is probably the only time on that. Oh, but it's not, say never. See? Don't say that will be the only time. So, let us continue. This is, should be the last part. Fulfill All Righteousness. So, let's read Matthew 5, verse 6. And the Bible said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thirsting, see, and hungering after doing the right things. If we come, and that is how these are, to do His will and what He wants, He says, if that's your desire, I will fill you with more of that. But see, you have to be thirsting and hungry for righteousness. You know, I know that if I don't eat, I get grumpy. You know? And we have to eat 3 times a day. Because then I go through mood swings, you know? So my wife is going, okay. You know, so that's the same thing, you know. If you don't eat the spiritual food, you're going to go to some mood swings, you know, and one day you're going to be up, and one day you're going to be down, and one day you don't know, and, you know. Because He says if you are hungry and thirsting for His word, for doing the right things, He will fill you up. Not only He will fill you up, He give you the desire for you to thirst and hunger for, and He also will satisfy your thirsting for that. It's amazing. You don't even lose anything. All you have to do is to desire, you know, to come and eat. The table is spread, you know, just come and eat. Let us pray. Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity that we have to gather together in Your name. Father, we feel Your presence, and that's why we come, Lord, because we are addicted to Your presence. Because in Your presence, anything can happen. Healings, everything that our heart desires, it can happen. Father, we thank You because we have nothing to do with this. We just come, Father, humble, sincerely honest of heart, wanting to seek You, to find You. And the Bible said that we will find You if we seek You. And if we knock, You will open. And tonight, Father, those words are still true today. It was 2,000 years ago. Father, if we just have the right attitude, the right mental attitude, Brother Brown says, we can have all the promises of God. We can claim them, Father, but we have to have the right attitude, the right behavior. We need to approach God His way. And His way, that's what I want You to teach us tonight, Father. Teach us Your ways. Help us, Lord, to not only to teach us, but to understand through the Holy Spirit what we have need of. Father, we want to come up a little higher tonight. Father, we don't want to live the same way we came in, Father. We want to be closer to You tonight. Teach us, Lord. Will You sit at Your feet tonight? Teach us the Word of God. That Word that is life to us, Father. Father, without it, we die. We were dead once before. Now we are alive. And we need to continue eating the bread of life so we can continue growing and mature until we can become the perfect man that is the perfect, that is You, the head. Father, we thank You because You provide everything. We don't have to struggle. All we have to do is just trust You and believe. And tonight, Father, we have come together and we believe that You are going to meet our needs, Father. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So, this, let me get my glasses, see what I... Actually, Matthew chapter 6 that we read, or 3, I think it was, it is part of the Beatitudes, you know. Blessed is the man, you know, that do these things. And if we do these things, we will be blessed. And these are part also of the Sermon on the Mount that starts in chapter 5. So, and when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus went up the mount to teach. And he needed to teach people the rules, you know. They needed to teach people the ethics, you know. The not so much reasoning and logic, but he needed to teach them the way of the kingdom. This is a new thing happening. People are coming to him. People are believing. But they need certain discipline, you know. Right. That you are in the world doing, you know, under another system. Now you come translated to this, to God's kingdom. But now you need to learn something different now. You cannot do what you used to do. We cannot go back to that. Because we knew that that was just wrong to begin with. But now, he's going to start teaching people, you know, how you're supposed to act. How a child of God is supposed to act in the kingdom of God. How he's supposed to behave. You know, what their responsibilities are. You know, he's a people that one time they were slaves of the world. Now they're in the kingdom of God. It's a new kingdom. It's a new creation. It's a new king. It's a new sheriff in town. Everything is new. But now we need to learn the rules. Because we cannot do what we were doing when we was in the world. Everything has changed. We are not the same. We are a new creation. All things have passed away. We need new rules. There's new. It's a king in town now. A governor. So with this teaching... He started in chapter 5 and he's going to end in chapter 7. And he's going to teach them to understand the character of himself. Because now that character that we had, he ain't going back to it. I don't want to be what I used to be. But now we need to acquire another character. And that is the character of Jesus. And he wants to reproduce his character in us. So therefore, there has to be certain things we got to do. You know, we're just not going to sit down and just wait until things happen. We got to be responsible. We got to the right attitude. We have to behave the right way. And one of the things is here about righteousness is that we have to do the right things in the right times and the right way. Before, we wasn't doing it. Before, we just impulse, you know. Oh, I'm going to do this. Sure, here we do it, you know. And sometimes it even came out right. But see, you don't do that in the kingdom of God. You cannot go by impulse. Right. Let me see how I feel today. Well, I think I stay in bed. It's going to rain. Yeah, your boss is going to fire you sooner or later. You cannot be impulsive. Not in the kingdom of God. So he's going to teach him. And all these teachings, part of the teaching was this one, about thirsting after the right things. Because if you're going to be in the kingdom of God, you need to thirst for his will. Not yours any longer. You are dead. Now you're a new creature. It's his mind now. Not yours. Yours is lost. You don't want it. Everything has become new. Even the way we behave, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we move, the way we do everything. It has to be, has some affinity with the kingdom that you are now belonging to. So, here he will give the qualities, you know, of the kingdom. We see the first one, well, it's not the first one. The first one was verse 5:2, but I'm going to start with 6 because I don't want to address them all. There are 8 of them. And these Beatitudes describe the blessing of those who certain possess those qualities of being a son and daughter of God. Right. Qualities or experience, you know, of the kingdom of God. See, if you belong to the kingdom of God, there's certain expectations. Yeah. You know, everything has changed. You cannot be the same. Because there's no part-time Christians here. You know what is a part-time Christian? Sometimes it's in and sometimes it's out. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Either you in or either you out. Either you're 100% committed, you're 100% all into this, your heart, mind, and soul, because there's no part-time Christians. Because one of these days we're going to wake up and you know, what are you going to do when things are not completed in your life? I want God to have his way and finish the work that he started on me. There's certain things that God required for me to do. So one of the things is thirsting and hungry for his will. See, I want to do what he wants me to do. My desire is his desire. I want to please him. But I cannot do that on my own. I need him to teach me. See? But if he's going to teach me, we are going to follow. See? You cannot ask God for something and then don't do it. See? That's what the whole thing is about. You know? We are not only hearers of the word, but we are what? Doers. What is good to hear the word and don't believe it or don't move into it, you know? Act on the word. It won't benefit you anything. You will be the same person. But I don't want to be the same guy. I want to change. I want to change. So here Peter says in Peter 3:14, but if you suffer for righteousness, so there's going to be some suffering. Well, who volunteers first? Oh, okay, I don't see no hands. So. Okay. But if you suffer, so you're going to have to suffer for righteousness' sake. Happy. Well, hold on, Peter. I don't like pain. And now you're telling me that I have to be happy? He says, happy are ye. Are you happy when you suffer? Oh, we go to first, second, and third pool. But he says, when you suffer for doing the right things, that's all righteousness is. You have the right thought, you write the right idea, you speak it, and you move in, and things will come out right. But you know what happens? You know why happens? Well, we have to suffer. Well, because Satan, see, is not going to leave you alone. See, Satan is going to try his best. I had a verse over here. I don't know where to put it, but I'll find it later. So persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. So it's not a picnic. Some of these things you're just going to have to just, you know, regardless what happens has come, you're just going to have to move forward. There's no time to quit when things are happening. No, things happen for the purpose to shape you and to mold you to that character. So when we are tested, you know, you should be honored that you are being tested. Because if you're not tested, then that means God is not, you know, doing anything in our life, you know. Sometimes the Bible says, you know, that if we are not chastised, we are what? Bastards, children. So if we are not being tested, I'll be kind of, you know, scared if somebody asks me, what's going on in your life? I say, oh, everything is peachy. Nothing is happening. Oh, my goodness, nothing. Something is wrong. Because if you're living for him, doing the right things, you are going to suffer. And that's all it is to it. Because that's what the word said. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 3:14, but if you suffer for righteousness, happy are you, and be not afraid, the terror neither to the troubles, because God will deliver you. See? So, persecuted, doing the right things. And the kingdom of heaven is for those that can just stand firm and wait and let the storm pass away, not run away from the storm. But now, let's go to Matthew 5:17, because we're talking about the law. I'm still talking about righteousness, and I'm going to link all this to it. Matthew 5:17-20 says, think not that I am come to destroy the law. See? Or to what? Or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to what? To fulfill. Oh, but we don't go by the law. We go by the grace. Yeah. Let's see how these two work together. For verily I said unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till it will be fulfilled. You know, some people don't believe in the Old Testament. But he says, nothing shall pass away until. Some people like to believe only the New Testament. But it's not so. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, he shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, I want you to listen to this. Except your righteousness, he says, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. I told you last time I was preaching, and sometimes I said things by inspiration, but I never found the scripture. But God gave me the scripture, see, because God cannot be deceived. God cannot be. Like nothing is void. I speak by inspiration sometimes in certain points that I need to do certain things. And I don't know why, but I find them. I've been preaching for 20 years. I have not housed anybody to challenge me yet. Maybe a couple cases, but it wasn't even a challenge. Because I would never feel sorry when I'm behind this pulpit. You know why? Because I speak by the inspiration of God. I don't have to apologize because it's not me. Now, listen, this is what I said. We all, at some time, were in the system. At the Baptist, Methodist, I don't know, whatever system we were on, belonged to. And we were oppressed in that system. You didn't know that, but you were. Because they have a form of godliness, see? And denying the power. They didn't have anything, the power to change us. So we was in the system, and the system would tell you at the Baptist that I was, if you leave us, you lost. Mine. You get scared. See, that's why nobody leaves the Baptist, because they make him feel afraid that this is, the Baptist is the gospel and everybody else is wrong. Now, not only in the Baptist and the Catholics and preachers, but in this message we have systems that way. That they want to slay people. They want to oppress people. See? And that's what I was saying last time. Now, what I was saying is, if we, when I was in the Baptist, under that system, I was loyal to the Word of God. I was loyal to what they said. You know, they said, the Word says, okay. I remember that Jesus told the people, do not believe what they said, but don't do what they do. See, because they spoke the Word of God. But they will not line up themselves with the Word of God. So that's what it says. If your righteousness is not above their righteousness, we're not going to make it either, because we're back to the same thing. So what I was just saying, okay, if we are under a system and we was faithful in that system to do all that we knew how to do, God will honor your heart. See? And you went to church and you did the best you could do with what you knew. Now he's saying, now you're in another kingdom. And he said, this kingdom should be above your performance, your attitude, your behavior should supposed to be above where you was at there. Because, see, you were a slave of some system that kept you down. Here, the Holy Spirit don't keep you down. So that's what I was saying that last time, and I wasn't picking on nobody. And that's what I always said, that we all were slave of a system at one point or another. But if you come out of a system and it's no change, to be the same as that system or less, it's not good. That's why he's saying we should exceed their righteousness. If not, then nothing has changed. You know, so I should be more fervent to serve the Lord now, because I know the truth. And I got the Holy Spirit. I didn't have it there. I tried. I couldn't. But see, I should be more fervent to serve the Lord. I should be more fervent to love the Lord. I should be more fervent to do what He asked me to do, His will. Why? Because I got more than I had. And now I have more understanding. And the more understanding I have, the more responsible I get. You need to understand that. You proclaim to believe this message, you're going to be more responsible than that guy out there that don't know this message. So that's what I was talking about last time. I looked at Brother Carbon and says, performance above. So I'm not picking on nobody. That's what the word said. We move into a new kingdom, new rules, a new governor, a new king. And there's also benefits. And it's also changing. And now we are, you know, changing until we get to heavenly places. Here, you never could get to heavenly places. You went as far as they wanted you to go. But here, there's no limit. We can go as far as you desire to go. So if we don't go, it's because something is wrong. And one of the things is, we have to have the desire, the thirsting, and the hunger to do the right things. Before, I had it, but I couldn't. But now, I have the desire that I had before, but I now have the Holy Spirit that is going to take me all the way. Galatians 1:4 says, "And for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And that's what the law and grace will merge. Because if you love God, you don't break the law. If you love God, you don't steal. If you love God, you will not lie. If you love God, you do His will. If you love God, you don't commit adultery. If you love God, you already obey the law. And there's nothing greater than love. See, supposed to be in the Old Testament as well. They're supposed to love God in such a way that they will do His will. That hasn't changed. They should have loved God with what they had. And that should have been enough. But here, we are not living by the law. We live by grace. But we have the same, you know, requirement. To love thy neighbor as thyself. 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God are manifest. This is how I know that you are a child of God. And the children of the devil, it's the Bible's talking. I'm not calling anybody anything. I'm saying, this is how you know. Whatever does not righteousness is not of what? So, you can tell me that you believe God, not you. Whatever church, whatever, whoever. Well, I believe God. Yes, I believe. But you don't put it into practice. So, that's not of God. Neither he that love not his what? His brother. First love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and then your brother. See, if you said that you love God, then you have to love your brother. You don't, you're lying. See, that's what it's saying. Can be God and can be God either or. So he says, those not righteous is not God, neither he that love not his brother. See, first you love God. And second, you love your brother. And third, you love your enemy. And fourth, you know, your enemy. And fifth, if there's anything left, you can love yourself. But the reason you can love your God and your brother and your neighbor and your enemy is because the love of God is in you. That's how I know you are a Christian. Because you will do the right things. You will love your enemy. Well, that's a hard thing to do. I haven't had an enemy yet, so I don't can tell you. You know, I did. I didn't never want to go back to those memories. When I was in the army, and finally they sent me to Vietnam, the first night they took me to Vietnam, they took a helicopter and they drove me in the company that I was going to be with in some mountain. I don't even know where I was. But it was getting dark. So what they do, you know, when a guy first comes into the unit, they put him apart. They don't, yeah, because they don't know yet. How this guy is going to lose it, go crazy. And he has a gun too. So what they do, they set you in the perimeter, but by yourself, all that night. So you can think about it. So you can meditate. And only in the darkness you can turn the light on. So they sent me there. I put my little tent and I had all night to think. The guys figured that if I make it, I'm a good soldier. But if I didn't, they'd shoot me back. You know, crazy guy. Went crazy, he took off. We don't even know where he's at now. So I had a whole night. And the first thing I said, what am I doing here? It's too late. I'm here. I didn't have no, I didn't want to think what came, you know, what the things that happened to bring me to this point. I didn't want to think about it. I already am here. I made the mistake. I'm here. So I got to the point, I just kept thinking and meditating. I told God, God, you know, there's not a mean bone in me. I was raised Christian all my life. And I cannot take someone's life, even if it's my enemy. And this is true words. And I said, I mean, what am I going to do? Kill a person? How am I going to feel? I mean, to take someone's life, he could be a father. He could be a young boy. He could be, they have family, a mother. How can I just deprive him, you know? And then feel okay about it. I said, I can. I cannot take someone's life. I don't know what I'm doing here, but here I am. So finally, I made a deal with God. I said, Lord, if we get in an encounter and somebody shoot, let me be the first one. If I encounter an enemy and he's going to shoot and I'm going to shoot, let him shoot first so I'm out of the way. Done. Because I don't know how I'm going to handle death of someone else. My hands. I said, no, that's not the way I was raised. That's not the way I was raised to respect life. Regardless if he was my enemy. So, the song came up. I was at ease because I said, whatever happens, Lord, this is the deal. So I went with the company months, and we had some encounters. And I told you the main one, that the first one, that was it's about 6 o'clock in the morning, the lights coming up in the horizon. And they wait until the light just came up and they started attacking us. They figured out where we were at through the night and they camped. And they attacked us in the same side that I was. Right there. They're a few yards away from us. So the guy that was next to me, he died. You know, third degree chest strap went through his chest all the way in to his heart. The other guy, he had a wound in his arm, a little, I guess, piece went out because the straps just fly around when they throw these RPGs, you know, it's just like grenades. And I wasn't even in between them, I was in one side. So anyway, to make the story short, I got out of the tent because the tent collapsed with the explosion. And I tried to find a weapon to shoot. So the pressure of the grenade or whatever, the RPG round, bended the rifles. I mean, that's the force that was next to us. Bended the rifles, took the guards, that plastic off of them, you know, and then I went to find the machine gun, and I tried to, you know, fit that in so I can shoot, cock it back, and the feeder was perforated with the grenade, you know, all the strap that flew around perforated the feeder, so I was stuck. And those guys are shooting. I seen the bullets flying, and these guys are shooting, and I'm, you know, they're going to hit me too. I see bullets flying everywhere, but I'm still trying to. I mean, I'm walking around. I said, now I will look for my grenades. I put them in my tent. When I go to sleep, I usually put them in the center stick and hang them so at night I can find them if I need to. But since the tent flew away, the grenade flew away too. So I found the grenades, and the firing pin has popped out of them. Oh, I said, what am I supposed to do? So I got behind a tree, and I had rocks, and I started throwing rocks. What else am I going to do? See, I remember what I told God. I said, I don't want to shoot and kill anybody. I said, God, you are funny. You're very funny. He wanted to show me his power, that he could do that. Because I was honest and sincere, and I had no mean bone, and I didn't want to kill anybody. But he put me through the suffering and the despair. I heard the bullets. I heard the noise. Finally, I got behind a tree, and then the captain got on me. That's another story. Anyway, so that's what I'm telling you. I don't have no mean boat, not me. I will prefer you before I prefer myself. And if somebody has to die, I will prefer myself before you do. I know that. I've been through that. I know I can do that. You have not been through that. You don't know. But I know. So, when the Bible says, neither that loves his brother, you know, neither he that loves not his brother. See? So, when you love God, you are the last one always. You are not the first. We sing that song, I'm in the center, you know. Let Jesus be the center of my life, the center of my home, the center of my church. Because if you are in the center of things, you know what happened? Sooner or later, it's going to collapse. See? Because you cannot sustain anything. He's the only one that can sustain. He's the creator. See? The solar system, the sun, the S-U-N, the S-O-N is there. And everything rotates around it. See? And that is the center of our universe. Nobody else can take the place. See? But if you, you know, try to take that place, some people are selfish and some people are me first. I used to be that way too. See? Me first, and you second. And I take care of myself first, and if left, you can have the rest of them. Yeah, that's how I used to live when I was. I know you guys never did that, but I did that. When I didn't know God, I was first because God wasn't in my life. But see, one day, my whole system collapsed. And I found myself in a war. And that's what you had to say, Lord, you know, your will be done. That's why you throw your hands and you said, whatever happens. So, Galatians 5:13. Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Here we go again. We're talking about righteousness. Now you are free from the bondage. You are free from this kingdom. Now you belong to another kingdom. Now you are free from that. Now you are free to love God. Now you are free to do His will. Now you are free to be obedient. Before you couldn't. Now you are free. But he says, only use not that liberty for an occasion to the what? The flesh. So again, serve one another. So in other words, you are free, see, but you're still a prisoner of God, of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. So you are really not free, but you are free in Him to do everything that He wants you to do that you couldn't do before. See, that's what I'm saying. Before you tried, you couldn't, but now you're in a different kingdom. Now you can, and you can go above of what you had before. See, so now you are free, but be careful. Don't use that freedom. Don't make grace a disgrace just because you are free. Amen. Well, yeah, brother, don't tell me anything. I love God and He will take care of me, but I don't have to do that. I do. Okay, you know, you're not free to decide what you want to do. We are free to do His will. And whatever the Word of God says, that's what we do. I don't need your logic, your reasoning, your thought, your ideas. You don't need mine. See? Don't make grace disgrace. Because, yes, I understand. God loves you and God will forgive you. You know, if you ask forgiveness. But we don't have to, you know. If we make the wrong decision or choice, it's fine if we do that. Not intentionally, but to intentionally not do something that God asks you to do. See, you don't have no freedom. Brother Doug says, and I said it many times, and I repeat it. You forfeit your rights. As a bride, you got no rights. How do you like that one? Either He's going to take care of you or either not. You don't have no right to decide, well, I'm not going to do that. The Word says to do it, but you need to do it. That's righteousness. You need to love your enemy. That's what the Bible says. You need to go to church. That's what the Bible says. You need to do this. You need to do that. Why? Because that's why the Bible says you have no rights. I know it sounds bad, but the benefits, awesome. Because He said, I will take care of you. I will provide for you. I will heal you. I will save you. I will keep you. Listen, the benefits are outweighed. The rights that I used to have anyway, to do whatever I wanted to, Anyway, it didn't work out anyway. I was always in trouble. So, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that man should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law. Oh, you want to fulfill the law? Then do to others what you like them to do to you. Now, that's a hard thing to do. Well, it's easy to say, it is hard to do. Because now you are out of the way. See? Because you have to, your brother come first, your sister come first. See? So, whatever you would like to do, or whatever you like for them to do to you, you should do to them. So you like for that person to be your friend, they be friendly. You would like for that person to serve you, then you serve them. That's what Jesus did. He washed their feet first. Peter said, no. Listen, whatever you like for people to do to you, you do it to them. That is the prophet, obeying the prophet and the law. So, first, when you love God above all things, you love your brother, you love your neighbor, and you love your enemy, then you have obeyed the law. You will not break it. Because if you love me, you won't criticize me. If you love me, you won't, say bad things about me, false testimony. If you love me, you know, you find out, you try to do, you know, for me, you know, the best thing you can do for me. If I'm needy, or if I need prayer, or whatever, you look for my best interest, not for yours. So if you do all these things, that's righteousness. If you do all these things, then you obey the law and the prophets. We don't live by the law. But when you fulfill these two commandments, you do it. Matthew 5:20 says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribe, he shall in no case enter into the kingdom. So I want you to think about that again. Because to exceed, I think I put it there. No, I didn't put that. To exceed means to surpass, to go beyond, to go above. So you have to go above your own self. See? The Bible says, prefer your brother before yourself, right? Okay. It's all in the Bible. All the scriptures are there. Behoove us to obey them. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, if Christ is in you and you have the Holy Ghost, he is your righteousness. You have no righteousness. But my righteousness is his. The rope of righteousness is his. I'm not claiming anything. He is the one that teach me. He's the one that sanctify me. He's the one that is going to redeem me. But he's also the one that teach me the way, the steps, how to live the life in the way that is pleasing to God, to do the right thing, to think the right thing. It's nothing in me can do that. I know it's hard to live. This message is hard. And I know it's hard. But you see, it's not me that I have to make it bring to pass. It's not me that need to make it work for me. All I have to do is just surrender to God and say, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what I please. That you will take over and bring me to that point. See? Now, 1 Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. I just told you that. It's not your righteousness. See? Either it's his righteousness or your idea, not his, or his idea, and not yours. You can have it both ways. See? You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve yourself, your own reasoning, your own logic, and then try to, when you want to. Listen, you cannot pick and choose here. When you read something, you cannot pick and choose. Either we do it or either we don't. Because we have a Holy Spirit. We have Christ in us. He will bring that to pass in our life. All he needs to know that you are sincere and honest and you desire to do those things. And then he will fit you. He will fill you. See? He says, which is the law. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Righteousness, which is of God, by what? By faith. You cannot live the right life unless by faith he will reveal it to you. You can try, you're going to fail. God has to reveal to you what his will is to your life. So you have to seek God every day for whatever you need. If you get up, you pray for God give you strength, God give you the right mind, God give you the right thoughts, God help you to say the right things to your workers, to your church, to your neighbor. God has to do that. Because if you don't start with that, do you think that you have enough good in yourself to do these things? Without him, you are nothing. We are nothing. And the Bible says, the righteousness which is God by faith. So, faith without action is dead. Faith without righteousness. What is righteousness? To do the right things. Is the action. So, if you say you have faith, you will do the right things. However, if you have the revelation, you cannot do something that you don't know what it is you're supposed to do. You have to have a knowledge of something to do it. I mean, you can't even think what to do. You don't even know what you're supposed to do. If I used to be at work and I couldn't find the right question to ask when I needed something for help because I didn't know what the question was supposed to be. But they used to tell me, ask the right question. I said, what is the question? So I can ask the question because I don't know what I want. So how can I ask you a question? So, well, you just start asking why until you get to the point. So the same thing with you. How can you fulfill, you know, a commandment if you don't know what it is? What it is you're supposed to do. But by revelation, you could live a righteous life. But if God give you revelation, you are responsible, accountable to do it. See? Now, Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruit of righteousness. What is the fruit of righteousness? His character. You know that I know if you are a righteous man or a righteous woman, I just see what happened after you claim something, you claim a promise, or you said, I am a Christian and I am honest. Okay, let me watch you now to see what happens. I don't lie. I'm a good Christian. I don't do this. Okay, that's fine, you know. But let me keep my eye on you because according to the word, righteousness is your character, and your character is what you do. So you profess to be God's children and that you are obedient. The only way I can see that is by your what? The life you live. That's all. Jesus said, if you don't believe my words, if you don't believe what I'm saying, check my word because my life testified that what I'm saying is correct because what I said, I live it. What I said, it comes to pass. What I said, it comes to manifestation. If you are a child of God, I know that you have character. Not because you tell me you have character, because it shows in what you do every day. It shows what you do at work, what you do at home, what you do at church, what you do, whatever thing you do. It will project your character. That means it will show what you think. It is God or it will be you. So, let me pick a sample out of anywhere because I know everybody here tithing and offering. Let's say that you believe in tithing. But, you know, you're short this week and you don't. Well, you think that's character? Let me find another sample. I don't know that one. Okay. I tried to find something so, you know, you're not identified with it, so I don't get in trouble. Let's say that you were an alcoholic. Yeah, I know there's no alcoholic here, but anyway. If he is, I'm not talking about you. That's fine. You are a child of God now. I used to be a lot of things, you know, before I came to the Lord. I don't want to go there, but let's say you went to AA and you tried to, you know, to work this thing out and, but then, you know, now you became a Christian. God saved you. God cleaned you up. God filled you according to yourself. Now you start working in your character. So, let's say you are at work and somebody said to you, hey, we're going to go to happy hour because, you know, we're going to celebrate our accomplishment. We did good this morning. And you're going to say, well, I don't drink. Well, yeah, we know you don't drink, but you don't have to drink. Just come. You know, and just be with us. And then you say, well, you know, you don't want to be around something that is your weakness, you know. So you say, well, I don't know. Then the devil start working in you. Well, if you don't go, they're going to say you're an antisocial. They're going to say that you don't support the team. They said that you're just an independent. And they're going to tell you all kind of things. And what happened, the devil is going to try to convince you that, next year they have promotions and you're not going to get any because you're not the preferred one. You're not with the, running with the gang, see? That's what happened to me. I shot myself in the foot, but I prefer to do that to compromise what I believed. They invited me. I never went. So they figure, you're weird and you are antisocial and I wasn't. I just would not go because I know what they were going to do. You know, they went to a happy hour every Friday. I know what happy hour is. They invited me to the Christmas party. Every year they have a Christmas party. You know, they have bands and they have drinks and dancing all night. I never went to one of them. They invited me many times. So what happened, since I was separating myself, they thought that I was kind of a weird kind of a guy. And since I'm not running with the gang, well, I pass on the promotion, they pass from me. See? But that's a small price to pay. Because here where I am, that drove me this way. So being filled with the fruit of righteousness, character, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So, your behavior, your attitude should be governed by and ruled by Him. See? It should not be relying in the book of ethics or reasoning or logic. You cannot even try to lean into your understanding. The Bible says that, and that's what it says. Now, this is the thing about God that I became to understand now. That God is not going to show you something, then you believe. The Word is going to tell you something, and then you believe it, and then you see it. It's not the other way around. So if you read the Word and says, do this, and you don't know why, when, how, it doesn't matter. You just need to what? To believe God. And then when you step into it, then God will give you the revelation, what that is. But as long as we be stuck up and, unless I see it, show me. No, show me nothing. He will not show you. He wants you to follow Him by faith, by revelation, trusting Him every step of the way. See? So your behavior, your attitude is governed by Him. See? And the character of Jesus, it will be reproduced in you, because that is what it's doing right now, reproducing the character of Jesus. Listen, that's why we come to church. That's what all this teaching is all about. We want to bring you higher. Your character needs to come higher until it gets to such a maturity that you come to perfection. Perfection is, I'll tell you what perfection is. You were made to do certain things. And when you do those things, you are perfect. When you buy a machine, when you buy a car, when that car working the way it was designed and planned to work, it is perfect. As long as it's working the way it was designed and do the thing they're supposed to do and function the way it's supposed to work, my product is perfect. Now when it breaks, see, it's not doing anything anymore. The same thing with you and me. Righteousness, it is a daily thing. Thinking about Him, meditating about His goodness, doing His will. Not only think about His will, but also what? Doing it. Brother Brown says, think, and then if you think right, and you do right, things will come out right. Why? Because God will make sure that He will bring you into that word, into that position. But you have to walk into it. Walk into it. He walked with God, and then he what? So he walked doing the right thing every day. Listen, you tell me, this is what happens sometimes. Sometimes people say, the Bible said that I should get the Holy Spirit, but it says, like they did in the upper room, it says, tarry until. What you mean tarry until? I mean, the Bible says You want the Holy Ghost, and when you're ready, come and get it. Tarry until when? What happens if you tarry and he comes tonight? That don't make any sense to me. If I know the coming of the Lord is near, I want the Holy Ghost and I want it now. Tarry for what? After the rapture? It's too late. So why wait? Why wait when you have a promise already? Listen, young people, I understand because I was young too. When I was young, I knew a lot. See? And now, you know more than I do because you know more about cell phone, iPads. You know, when I was growing up, it was no phone. It was no cars. I didn't have nothing. I had to take the bus. And, you know, all the stuff that you have right now, yes, you know more about those things that I know. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about life. See, I'm talking about life. Now, you read a lot, you learn a lot, you Google a lot, you know. Sometimes Googling is, let me put this here. Sometimes Googling is something very disadvantaged for families because when I was growing up, it was no phone, nothing. So if I had a question, I asked my mom and dad, right? That was my source. I cannot Google it. I mean, the library was too far. I had a car and I live in the country. So if I had a need or something, a question, I asked my mom and dad. But what do the kids do today? They Google things. See? So you never know what question do they have, and you don't know what answers do they got. Because they don't ask mom and dad anymore because they think they're old-fashioned. They don't know anything they don't know anything about Googles and about tablets, but I know about life. But see, it is a detriment because now kids don't look at their parents for the question they have in their life, personal things that they need to ask. Now they Google it or they go to school or talk to their friends. And for me, that's something that's just kind of disconnect your children. So, and you never know what's going on with your child. Oh, he's a good boy. He's always in his room. Yeah, he don't get in trouble. Yeah, did he ask you questions? How was the last time you communicated with him about anything important in life? No. Cell phone, Google it. And that's what I said. That's a bad thing. I mean, phones are good, but in that sense. Now, let me finish my thought. So, I know you know a lot. And when I was younger, I knew more than my father about everything else, but not about life, see? He knew more about life than I knew because he was older. So what I'm saying is, you know more, but you understand less. I know, I understand more, and you understand less. In fact, I understand more than what you know, you know. So when I stepped into this pulpit, you know, what I tell you, some of the stories by experience, I lived it. See, you have not grown enough to lead what you think is right. You haven't even proved if it's right or wrong. But you know a lot of stuff. But it will come the time that you will gain the experience. Now, you will know. Now, I'm 70. I know a lot of stuff. Maybe I don't know it all, but I know more than a 20-year-old, 30-year-old. Why? Because they know a lot. But I understand more than what they know. So that's when sometimes fathers and mothers, you need to talk to them and stop Googling everything. You probably a 23-year-old is talking to you, a 19-year-old. You don't even know who you're talking to. Sometimes they put all this stuff in the internet. You don't even know if they're real things, if they're valid, if they're accurate. You don't even know who wrote it. Somebody writes an article against cats, you know, a cat, meow, meow, cat. And how bad they are and what they will do to them. And I hate cats. And when you look at their background, they own a dog pound. See? Because they love dogs. So now when they write the article, it's all about hating the cats, see? But then you have another person that loves cats. You know. So see, what I'm saying, you need to know the point of view people write things. Oh, this lady, she loves cats. Yeah, but she hates dogs, you know? And I love dogs. Now she's putting me down to the grind and putting in the ground because I love dogs. So, anyway. 2 Timothy 2:15. So then, brother and sister, stand firm, stand, and hold fast to the teaching. that we pass on to you, whether by word or by mouth or by letter. See, we're talking about Jesus' teachings. See, that is the word of God that we're talking about. See, that is what it's going to shape you. It's going to form you. It's going to change you. It's going to change your attitude. It's going to change your behavior. And it's going to make you become a responsible Christian. I know when you're a responsible Christian is when Brother Brown says, I prefer to see a sermon than to preach one. The same thing goes with you. That's what Saint Joseph saying. I want to see your life live than hear you telling me that you are. Because your life speaks kind of louder than your words. See? Because I know you have character, because when you believe God and you do it, that's character, see? That's the only character it is. See? So, Isaiah 5:16, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in what? In righteousness. I didn't know one time that God sanctified himself. You know he do? In what you do. He give you his word. See? And if you do the right thing, you glorify him. He sanctified himself in you. See? You are the standard for this generation. So, you are the feet, the hands, the eyes. You are. So when you do the right thing, see, it says, sanctify in righteousness. Every time you do, you think the right thing and you do the right thing, you glorify your Father. You sanctify your Father. You know why? Sorry. Because the Father is saying, you know, you are the Word, a living Word to those in the world. How do we going to know God if it's not through you? Brother Brown said, the only God they're going to see in this age is what? You. And the way you act, according to what you preach and you said, will either glorify him, sanctify him, or not. And that's what he's saying. So be careful what you said, because you must do it if it's the word of God. He says, now, Jeremiah 51:10, let me give you an example quickly. The Lord had brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare into Zion the work of the Lord of God. You are the standard. You need to show the work. You need to declare Zion is the bride. You need to declare his work. And then he be sanctified. And everybody will say, he's a good God. Everybody going to say, he's a holy God. Everybody going to say, he's a sanctified God that sanctifies himself in the people by what you do. See? So you got to be careful not being iniquitous, knowing what to do and not do it, because God don't get any glory from that. God don't get sanctified on that one, or purified, or holy. See, how do the people going to know that there is a God that is a real God and is a holy God? You, for what you do. So if you do the word of God, that's righteousness, holiness. That's the right thing. But if we don't, what people going to say about your God? See? Now, for Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And it's written, the judge shall live by faith. Faith is a revelation. So you cannot live a life unless God will reveal it to you. And that's why we want revelation. Brother Van says, revelation is one of the things that we need the most, is revelation. Because I need to know what God wants. If I want to do it, I need to know what he wants, done with his word. And he said the bride will have his word and know what to do with the word. That's righteousness. See? Because that's where we're going. That's all it is to it. Now, let me give you an example. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he had clothed me with the garment of salvation and covered me with the robe of what? Righteousness. Every time you be obedient and you do what he begs you to do, you're dressing yourself. See? People say, but the dress is the word. Yeah, the word being manifest in your lives. So to do that, you have to think right and do his will, and you are dressing yourself. See? So he says, the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and his bride adorned herself with jewels. And then Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself. He's not going to force you. You don't want to do that? He's not going to force you. You got to want to do it. See? You have to be thirsty and hungry to do the right things. If you are not, then ask God to give you the hunger and the thirst to do the right things. If I come to church and I don't feel like it, then I need to figure out, you know, that's his desire. That is his program. You know, I better get to an altar, because that is righteousness being fulfilled. His word being fulfilled in my life. And that's how I dress myself. Revelation 19 and 8. And to her was granted to be, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean, white. The linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. Let's read here a quote from Brother Branham says, but he promised us that all things will work together for good to them that love God. How much do you love God? Do you love God enough to die to yourself and let him take over? Because that is what we're talking about. There's no part-time Christian. Either we're there or either we're not. You cannot be alive. That guy died. You cannot resurrect it no more. You're in a new kingdom. And the new kingdom requires that you look at God with your soul, with your body, and with your heart, and with everything. That don't leave anything out. So, Brother Brian says, but he promised us that all things will work for good for those that love God. How do I know that you love God? By your righteousness. Because you do what he wants you to do. He do. You want to please him. It doesn't matter if you had to suffer for it. No? He says, and again it is written, he will not withhold any good thing from them that walk upright, upright being righteous. So why do you think we suffer so much sometimes? Because we ask and we ask amiss, because we ask for our own concupiscence, for our own flesh, and then we just wondering why things are not happening. Because he says his hand is not short. He says that he will give you, see, the desires of your heart. And he will not withhold anything good thing from them that walk upright. It's not about having houses and cars. You know, I'm not talking about none of that stuff. That stuff is good, you know. But a blessed man or blessed woman is the one that fulfills the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God. So we do exactly what God wants us to do, to promote. And we like to promote the reign of Christ, the kingdom. We like to practice righteousness. And the only aim that we have in our life is to do the will of God. And that's it. There's no room for nothing else. You know, there's a narrow way and it's a wide. The narrow way is so limited. It's hard. It's so limited that only one person can walk through there. Do you know? What I mean, one person, only one can give the orders. One mind. It's so narrow that your mind cannot even go in there no longer. You cannot go in there no longer. But you can follow him and let him give you the direction and give you everything. So that means it's so narrow that there's no room for your thoughts, there's no room for your mind, ideas, there's no room for nothing. The only room in that walk is just his mind, his life. And we just follow. Now, we like the broad one, you know, the wide, because it's all kind of ideas. You know, we all going to make it. You know, it's room for everybody. You know, just put in your ideas. Hey, as long as, it doesn't matter what you look in the outside, what it counts in your heart. Okay. See, it's so wide. It's range of idea. It doesn't matter which religion you go, you serve, we all going to make it. Oh, it's so wide, you know. But here, it's just one narrow, and it's you and God. Everything else is dead. See, Brother Branham says, let me read 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face. See? And might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. If you're lacking something, get into the Holy of Holies. You know, get an audience with God. You know, if you don't understand something, don't blame somebody else. You know, Brother said, if you feel like somebody's picking on you, you are being picked on. Not by me, but the Word. If you don't understand certain things that I'm saying, or maybe you don't agree, you know what you need to do? Just get in the Holy of Holies, let that veil fall, and why don't you ask my boss? I don't understand that guy, and I don't know why he keep picking on me, and I don't know this, and I don't know. Will you help me understand? Not to tell me why he's wrong and I'm right. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not the right attitude. Get in the Holy of Holies. Our God. If this is right or this is wrong, I need to know. Because if it's right, I want to do it with all my heart. If it's not, then I want to walk away as far from it. You know, we got problems because we don't want to come. You know, we want to blame everybody. Why don't you just get in there and ask God? If your heart is sincere and you are honest, you will ask God. And He will give you all the answers that you have needs. Because I want to be right. I want God to examine my heart. I don't want to blame anybody. I want God to tell me if I'm right. See? Brother Mark says, she knows she had come from somewhere. Something happened. And that is the way it is. If God, when I was alien from Him, so loved me till He stooped down to get me and pick me up. That gives me confidence that He wants to use me. So you're not here to just, you know, warm the seats. He got a purpose in doing it. See? He seen something in me. He seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Look at the people that are unsaved today. Look at the millions He could have took beside you. Do you think that after God brought me this far here, took me from the scum and brought me through all I went through, and now I'm just going to want to do what I want to do? He could have chosen somebody else. If those people out there knew what you have, they would take your place. So if we understand that God has a purpose and that this means life and death, we will do all possible to do the right things and not to make excuses, you know. Look at the millions of we could have took beside you, but He took you. Amen. No one can take your place. Amen. You are God's economy. So if I have a business and you work for me and you don't come to work, here goes my economy. God has a purpose with you, with everybody that is here. But if you decide not to come to work, what are you supposed to do now? My economy is not going to do well. The economy do well as the children will do. Together, we a body move. This is not just you and me. See, we need you. And I need you and you need me. Why? Not because I need you. It's because God needs us so His economy can work. So people say, I don't know, my church, we don't have miracles, we don't have revival, we don't have nothing. Okay, then don't look at the church. Don't look at the pastor. You know, this is a big economy. And you are part of this economy. Amen. Are you doing your part? Amen. Are you being responsible for your part? Are you have the right attitude towards your, when you come to church, you have the right attitude towards your brother. You have the right attitude toward the economy of God. No one can take your place. See, if you don't come, I cannot replace you. You know, we don't have alternates here standing back there, you know, that you can call. I'm not going. Can you take my place? Listen, if you're not here, it won't work. That's all it is to it. That's what Brother Doug always said. The mechanics, you know, when we come to church, when somebody's not here, the dynamic change. Because this is the economy. God called you to this place, and you know this is the place you're supposed to be, and you know that this is your pastor. You are part of the economy of this church. And it behooves you to be present and there every time so the economy of God will work. Well, having the right attitudes, of course. No one can do it. That is His love for you. Nobody can take your place and do the things you do. God called you with a purpose. And maybe your purpose is different than my purpose, but we all had to purpose to do the right things. Because, listen, this is not for your benefit in the sense as we are not independent. We do, you know, God deals with us independently. But we are here for the benefit of the whole. It's not me. Remember I told you, love your brother, love God, love your brother, love your neighbor. And then if the love of God is in you, you know, that's what you want to do. Forget about yourself, really, actually. So when you love the body, and when you love the church, and when you love your pastor, and when you love everything that we do in church, then, see, you need to be there because nobody else can do what you're supposed to. God called you with a purpose. I cannot fulfill your purpose. You know what? Kenny cannot fulfill my purpose. I asked Kenny, would you like to preach? He said, no, sir. And he asked me, you want to play? I said, no, sir. He has a purpose. I have a purpose. And you have a purpose, even if it's to sit there and say amen. I don't know. You need to find your calling and calling and your election. You need to make it sure. Because that's what people sometimes kind of unstable because they don't know their calling. And they don't know. You need to make it sure. See? So, God will satisfy our hearts. If you are hungry and thirsting for His word and do the right things, God will fill you with more. More. And then we come to church. I want more. More. Then do the right things. And He promised that He will fill you. But you have to do your part. And your part is, Lord, whatever you have me to do, that is what I want to do. Like Mary. Mary says, be unto me. See? Whatever you want, that's what I want to do. See? And then He will give you the desires of your heart. See? And He will complete you. See? Nothing here in this life will satisfy you like Lord, the Lord Himself, like Christ Himself. See? They shall be filled, the Bible said. And I'm looking forward to that. See? I want to be filled here. But one of these days, I'm going to be filled completely to the top. One of these days, this is going to disappear. It's going to be a change. And I'm going to be filled completely. And then I'm going to be known as I was known in that day. And that is my desire. And that is my hungry. And that is my thirsting. See, that I will do everything that God bids me to do. And when we come to church, we tell God, fill me. Fill me. Not just halfway. Not just, you know, three quarters. Fill me to the top. But if you want to be filled, you have to be responsible. If you ask, you got to be responsible for what you're asking for. You come to church and you say, I want to be a better Christian. But you will. If you really want to be, God will fill you with the thoughts and the idea to be a better Christian. And then you will be willing to do it. See, able and willing to do it. So, I am sure that He is my satisfying portion. See? But He will not satisfy me unless I am thirsting and hungry for Him to satisfy me. Listen, God knows your heart. I don't know your heart, and you don't know my heart. That's one thing that God kept to Himself. So God knows if you are sincere or not, if you want to fulfill all His word that He has revealed to you. We want to more revelation. Well, start doing what you have been revealed because God is not going to give you more than if you're not going to do it. But when you start doing it, God will give you more, more. God has to make sure that He can trust you. With the word. He knows if He can trust you, but you need to know if you can be trusted with the word. And that's what happened to Job. See? Hey, you can stand. I forgot to tell you to stand. That's what happened to Job. Wow, that's a good time. That's what happened to Job. Job, he served you because you do all these things for him. And you do all this stuff for him. But what about if you don't? Listen, even if the devil, you know, there's not enough demons and spirit in hell to stop me to do the will of God. I already said, my mind is set. That whatever it takes, I will do. Why? Because he loved me. Why? Because he satisfied my soul. Why? Because he heals me. Why? Because he watched over me. He protected me. I mean, what a deal. I mean, what a deal. Let's see. I had a son in my mind, but I forgot what it was. That happens when you get older. No, it's because I have so much in my mind that I cannot put nothing else no more. I need an extension. You know, they should make an external memory that you can plug in and, you know, because mine is full already. I had to dump stuff out so I can put more in, but I'm done. Fill my cup. Can we sing that one? Don't you want your cup to be filled? My cup.